What's up, DFS world? It's Bobby Fye again, coming back at you with one of the best here, Hoop 2410. Going to be breaking down tonight's slate for you, the fantasy draft happy hour. How you doing tonight, Mike?
Oh, I'm doing well, man. Just happy to be on a show with someone that doesn't give a shit about the NCAA bracket like myself. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I mean, I used to be so obsessed with this, and I just, like we were talking about before the show, I think DFS just sort of took over the love. I noticed I didn't watch a bit of any game yesterday. I was just watching the NBA games.
Yeah, I didn't watch one bit of the tournament yesterday. I tuned in to watch a little bit of Michigan. I'm a big Michigan fan, so I watched a little bit of their game today, but can't get into it. And it's nice to be able to say that and not get the backlash that I typically get from Big T. So,
how did Michigan do?
They won by like one, I think. The spread was 2.5, and Michigan was up by 4 with like 5 seconds left, and then Oklahoma State, I think they hit a shot like right at the buzzer to cover. So I know a lot of people were pretty tilted about that.
Oh man, that's funny. All right, man, were you ready to get into the slate?
Yeah, it's a nice one. It certainly is a nice one.
Yeah, we got a nice 8-game slate, a lot of interesting games. We're starting off with one of the ones with a lot of question marks. We got the Bulls at the Wizards, 212.5 over-under. What is the spread? Actually, for some reason, my spread is not showing up.
It was like 8 last I saw.
Yeah, it makes sense. So the Wizards -8. Yeah. I actually thought it could be a little higher if Wall was going to be out, but we're assuming Wall's probably going to play, right?
Yeah, officially upgraded him to probable, and he's a guy that typically doesn't miss many games, so think, you know, you can definitely count on him playing tonight.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to make some – I know we don't want to predict blowouts and all that, but that's why I'm surprised. Like, it feels like this game could be really nasty with the way Chicago's played at times recently and the way the Wizards can go through those really, really hot stretches. But yeah, I know we can't, you know, count on it. Just had a little bit of nervous feeling about it.
Yeah. Like, it's a weird situation with the Bulls because now they're actually going to the guys that are like the better players on their team. I mean, as much as we hate Rondo, I mean, he's a pretty decent basketball player. I mean, he knows what he's doing out there. They're playing him, Mirotić, the minutes are up for him. So I like the Bulls to actually keep this game close. I mean, I know it's a road game in Washington. They've been playing well, but I think the Bulls keep it close just due to the fact that they're actually playing the guys they should have been playing all season long.
Yeah, yeah. Who do you expect? I mean, obviously Jimmy Butler is going to be – people are going to flock to him without Dwayne Wade. It makes sense. Obviously people are going to play Rondo. I'm wondering about your thoughts on, like, Denzel Valentine.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for, like, all the value that we have now with the Boston guys, I think a guy like Valentine would be more in the conversation. So for cash games, I think I prefer to go elsewhere for the value, but he's been pretty consistent. I think the minutes will be there. So I'm fine as a last ditch effort on value or even a tournament play. I mean, the guys, obviously I like the best ones that you mentioned. It's Butler and Rondo in that starting unit. I mean, it's got to be those two guys that are getting it done here. And the Wizards don't play much defense either. So I think the Bulls don't have trouble scoring any points here. So Rondo, Butler, I like the call on Valentine as well in tournaments.
Yeah, it seems like I like the Rondo-Mirotić combination too. Because he can create shots for him. So, like, I think they have a pretty good correlating numbers. So I think that he's also in play. I think this is a really interesting game. And you could even do, like, a little mini game stack if that's your thing.
Yeah, Mirotić. Yeah, I think he's a good play as well. You know, talk about them playing the guys that are their best players. He's one of them, and we saw in the last two games, right around 30 minutes. With the injury to Wade and everything else going on with this team, I think it's safe to assume, you know, upper 20s and maybe even up to 30 minutes for Mirotić. And he's a tick above the minimum basically on every single site, which puts him definitely in play.
Yeah, I think you could. I mean, you could use him in any format, actually, with the way that, you know, he's going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he can get super hot from behind the arc, and that's what we saw. I don't know if it was last game or the game before, where, I mean, he was just draining threes, and when he gets hot, he will keep shooting, and a lot of times they go in. So it's a good combination for in order to rack up some fantasy points there.
Yeah, absolutely. On the other side of the ball, is there anybody else in the Bulls, actually, before we move over to the Wizards side?
No, I think that's good. I mean, it's Butler, it's Rondo, Mirotić, Valentine. I know a lot of the projection sites have Robin Lopez up there. I'm not playing Robin Lopez in any format, so I'll pass on him.
Yeah, way too. There's a lot of good centers, too, out there today. Yeah. On the Washington side, I assume we're not probably going to use Wall. I mean, I guess you could. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think in tournaments, he's in play. I know Wizards have a nice team total here, like 110, and nobody's going to play any of these guys. And in competitive games, their starters all, for the most part, approach 40 minutes of action. That's kind of what you want. So, I mean, if you have a read on any of these guys, I think, you know, just go for it in tournaments because they'll all be low-owned. I don't see anyone on this – roster that would be highly owned. The only situation I kind of avoid would be center. You know, earlier on in the season, Gortat was playing a ton. Now Mahini is starting to kind of cut into his role a little bit. So I'd probably avoid Gortat, maybe give Mahini a look in tournaments. But outside of that, I think the other starters, you can fire away. I mean, my favorite would probably be Wall. He has the most upside, and, you know, Beal's there as well. If he gets hot, he can put up a big game too.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think all the starters are in play also, except for Gortat. I do think that I'm probably not going to be using any of these guys in cash. Maybe Bradley Beal in some spot, but I don't think so. How about you?
He's just priced a little bit too high for me. I mean, if you're playing a site where he's not like way up there, I mean, he's way up there on FanDuel. He's way up there on DraftKings, Fantasy Draft. So, you know, probably not. But if you're playing on one of these smaller sites where, you know, he's kind of priced with some of these cheaper guys, then definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Real quick, I want to mention we have the chat league up. Come on in and join. It's $5. We're going to have Mangone's going to put it up in the chat. But yeah, come in and join. It's 32 players. I think we've only got a few right now. So get on in. You'll play against me and hopefully win some free swag. Yeah. Let's jump over to the Mavs Sixers. It is, I'm sorry, I'm having a little trouble with my projection page. I use a different one than most people do. Sorry, my point spreads. It is
204 and a half, and I don't know, the Mavericks are favored by a few, it looks like.
Yeah, Mavericks minus 5.5. There it goes. There you go. Finally updated. Yeah. All right, so this is just before we get into it, it's not like the most exciting game, but I do think that we have to mention the revenge narrative. Noel, I happen to love him for tournaments.
Yep.
That's my favorite play on the Dallas side. What are your thoughts?
I love him in tournaments. I think this is an interesting game because not many people will be on it. And both teams right now are playing hard. And at this point in the NBA season, that goes a long way for DFS because there's a lot of teams that aren't really playing that hard, aren't giving their full effort, either because they're far out of the playoffs or because they're kind of locked into where they're going to be. So these are two teams that are actually kind of playing hard right now. The Mavericks, I think, want to try to get that eighth seed. I mean, they have a lot of work to do, but their guys are playing a good chunk of minutes right now. On the 76ers side, they're just going young, and they're giving these young guys an opportunity. So I think there's some good tournament targets here. Noel on the Dallas side and Saric, I think, is a phenomenal play on the 76ers side. I mean, this guy looks super legit. People really aren't playing him in DFS right now because the price tag has come up. You know, this is a pace down game for the 76ers, but I'm not really worried about that. I mean, I'm looking at Saric. I'm looking at what he's capable of doing on the court, what he is doing on the court, and the fact that it'll be low owned. So I like Saric.
Yeah, I mean, look at these games. I mean, he's had 40 out of 3 out of his last 4 back-to-back 50-point fantasy point games. 14-7.
People aren't playing him, and really, I mean, he's been low owned, and I think you can just count on him being low owned again tonight.
Yeah, I like that call, and I think he's also. I mean, I think he's so safe for cash. Even like he just is getting that usage is just crazy. I have no problem playing him in every format.
Absolutely.
Who else would you play on Philly if you were for a tournament spot? We both talked about Noel on the Dallas side, but. And maybe now Curry's price has gotten low enough actually on the Dallas side to where you almost play him. Everybody sort of seems like in a decent price range, but I don't know what the upside is for each of the Dallas players.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it, I haven't seen the updated status on, Wesley Matthews is expected to play. Yeah. If he was out, I think, yeah, we can take a look at some of those guys, even in cash games. But with him playing, it kind of muddies up the backcourt a little bit, so. Probably more so focus on Noel. I like that call a little bit. Harrison Barnes, I think, is for the most part always a somewhat safe cash option. He's going to play the minutes. He'll get his shots, and this is a good matchup. So, yeah, probably, you know, Noel definitely in tournaments, and I'd say Barnes, Curry, I think, are fine secondary options.
Yeah, I'd go along with that. Anybody else before we move on?
I mean, maybe Robert Covington in a tournament. I mean, he can get the steals. He can hit the threes. Nothing really. And Holmes is actually a solid player. Should be low owned again. And, you know, he doesn't need a lot of minutes to get the job done. So, I can get on board with Holmes too.
Yeah, I'm definitely on board. I actually think Holmes makes a lot of sense. He's a little more expensive on DK and fantasy draft than he is on FanDuel, but I do think that he's still definitely in play. People who are going to want to chase JJ Barea probably after the other day. Yeah. He had a monster, what do you have, 13 assists in 20 minutes or something?
Yeah.
I would say stay away.
And I would agree. I'm not going, not doing that. Definitely.
I actually did have a piece of him that night just because I wanted to I just wanted to see what would happen without Matthews in the game. But
yeah,
I was like, all right, I got real lucky there.
I mean, if Matthews is out, some of those guys become interesting, but Matthews in, Bray is back. I mean, it's just, it's a crowded situation.
Yeah. Yep. All right. We got Toronto at Detroit, 202 over under, and it is Detroit minus 3.5. Toronto obviously got blown out last night, and they should be well rested tonight. what are we looking at in this game, if anything?
Well, Toronto they've been bad, and their players have been bad. I mean, their team's been bad, and their players have been bad for DFS. So, I mean, for me, I'm not looking at Toronto at all. I think Detroit, from a game standpoint, I think they get it done here against Toronto. Detroit's kind of playing well. They've played well in a few spots. So I'm completely off the Raptors. There's honestly not one player that I have any interest in any format tonight, to be quite frank with you.
Yeah, I was with you completely on that until I started looking a little further. And I just realized the ownership, even though it's a terrible matchup, just with DeRozan's price at 14.7 and the upside for tournaments, I feel like, you know, when you have 50 plus upside, but then again, you're talking about the same price as Saric, who's put back-to-back 50 games in a row and in a probably a little better spot. So
yeah,
I thought he was tiny bit interesting.
Yeah, for DeRozan, the reason we like him obviously would be with Lowry out, and he's typically been a guy that, you know, contributes all across the board when Lowry's out. Goes from a scoring dependent player to a guy that kind of does it all, but he really just hasn't been doing it all lately, which is somewhat concerning. I just don't think they're really figuring it out. I mean, you look last game, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Before that, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. So he hasn't broken more than 8, you know, rebound assists together in 3 straight games. So, I mean, that's, you know, just he's kind of back to being scoring dependent. So I'm off him. If you're deciding between a DeRozan or Saric, I mean, I'm definitely going with Saric in all formats. A couple of Pistons I actually do have some interest in tonight. I can't believe I'm going to admit this because I'm like the biggest Drummond hater in the world. And I mean, Crane and Big T, I mean, I always take the stance I hate Drummond, but the price is down. The matchup, I think, is okay. Pistons are favored here at home. So I actually don't mind Drummond tonight.
Yeah, at this price, I feel like you have to give him a look at least a little bit if you're playing a lot of lineups, just because, especially, I mean, in GPPs, he's definitely got a shot at 50 plus. And, you know, he's 13-4 on fantasy draft and just under 7 on DraftKings. So, yeah, I really like they really like Drummond tonight. But there is a lot of great centers. So,
yeah, and that's the problem. I mean, centers just – it's a flooded position tonight. There's a lot of good plays. But in tournaments, I mean, I don't mind going to Drummond. I say it all the time, I rarely play Drummond. I'm a Drummond hater. I think he sucks at basketball. I think his basketball IQ is like the bottom of the barrel in the NBA. But the price down, the matchups, right? I just think the Pistons roll here. So I like Drummond. I like Tobias Harris. I mean, he's going to be in the starting lineup, they said, for the remainder of the season. Solid player. When he starts, he plays a lot of minutes. He can do a little bit of everything. So I like Tobias here a little bit too.
Yeah, I like him as well. He's actually been playing much better than some of the numbers. They had a couple blowouts in there, and then there's the game at Utah. He's actually been – and his numbers are good, but he's been even better than those numbers. I think Harris is a play that I could actually see – I probably won't go there in cash, but I don't think it's wrong. I definitely like him for GPPs.
Yeah, just super safe bet. I mean, when I look at a guy like him, I just like 30 just seems so reasonable. 30 fantasy points, like, and he can get to 40. He can get into the 40s too if he gets his full allotment of minutes. So I like Harris tonight.
Yeah, 11-6, definitely interesting. Anybody else on the Detroit side of the ball?
Maybe Reggie Jackson. I don't mind him. Kind of. Getting better. I mean, the last game was a blowout, right?
Foul, I think trouble. It was.
I don't know. Maybe Reggie Jackson. Looking at this game log here, maybe not. I don't know.
it's weird with him, because actually that's sort of why I like him in our GPPs. I mean, one of the biggest tournaments I've won this year was, and he was less than a percent owned, because, and it was recently, because this is what happens. I mean, the guy can put up 40 fantasy points, and at his price, 10-6, a little over 5K on DraftKings. That's, you're just going to have to count on him playing well. If he doesn't play well, Ish Smith's going to come in, and they're going to, Ish Smith will put up decent numbers, and sometimes KCP will as well. So it's just a crapshoot a little bit, but I do think that, you know, you're going to get about 50% of the time he's going to cover that price. All right. This is a really interesting one coming up. Rockets at Pelicans. Probably I'm a little more interested. Oh, you know what? I'm jumping ahead. I got to go down the starting lineups page. It's the Celtics at Brooklyn Nets. 215 over under. The Celtics are a 8.5 point favorite. It's actually 215.5 now, the over under. All right, starting with the Celtics part of the ball, a lot of value, lots of like. Who are we starting off with?
Yeah, kind of ironic. On good old St. Patrick's Day, the Celtics are going to be the top team in terms of value, ownership, all that. Starting at the top, I mean, it is kind of site dependent, but on these sites, on DraftKings and Fantasy Draft, it has to be Marcus Smart. He's priced down. He's a little more expensive on FanDuel, but he's priced down here. He's going to start, likely to play at least 30 minutes, and he's a guy that can pretty much do it all. So I think he ends up being one of the most popular plays on the slate. Next guy, I think, is Avery Bradley. Minutes limit restricted or relieved, and he no longer has a minute restriction. So mid-30s, I think, in terms of playing time. And I mean, the best part about this is they have the best possible matchup. I mean, it's not like a situation where a guy's out, like an Isaiah Thomas, and the matchup sucks. Like, this is exactly what you want, like, against the Nets. So Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, I think, is a fine play. And I like Al Horford a ton too. You know, he's a guy that can be really involved in this offense. They get him the ball a lot. He's a good passer, good rebounder, and he's going up against Brook Lopez, and that is very appealing. So I love Horford tonight as well.
Yeah, I think they should run their offense through him a little bit more than we're used to seeing without Isaiah on the court. He's certainly comfortable at the high post. Like, there's a lot of ways they could use him. Yeah. I really think that Bradley is a terrific play. I'm going to have a very hard time not keeping him out of all of my lineups.
Yeah,
he's my favorite, and smart on DK and fantasy draft at 9,800 on fantasy draft. Definitely, you know, just go ahead and plug him into anything you want to. I feel like he's safe. Yeah. I really think that Rozier is interesting. It's his birthday. I know that people don't get it, but that's a thing. And it's St. Patty's Day at home. He's going to get probably 25-ish minutes, maybe a little more. And, with his production per minute, even sometimes playing with the starters, he's actually been solid. So I think that he's a guy who could put up, you know, he's what, the minimum cost. So 6K on fantasy draft, 3K on DraftKings. He could 10x his DK salary and, you know, 5x his fantasy draft salary, which is pretty sweet. So I really like him a lot as well.
You give me a player like him, 24 to 26 minutes, which I think is reasonable for him tonight at the min price against the Nets, I'm sold. I mean, it's not going to take much for him to get there. He has the upside to go much higher too. So I definitely like that call.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. And then on the Nets side of the ball, I know it's always hard to guess what's going to happen here. I've heard rumors that they might rest Lopez. I don't think that's real. I think that was just people speculating.
Yeah.
No Kilpatrick, no Booker. Who are you looking at, if anyone?
So they did play last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they played. So they're just very cautious with the minutes right now and all these guys. And, you know, the coach said it months ago, hey, we're going to try to keep everyone under 28 minutes. And that's kind of been the case. So they have some injuries now. So it's kind of forcing some guys to play some extra minutes. My favorite's Lynn. I mean, he just has a massive usage rate, you know, matchup fine here against Boston. He's the guy that's been getting close to the 30-minute marker. So I'm good with Lynn. Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, I think, is a fine option, mid to upper 20s in terms of playing time, kind of scrapper-type player, so can rack up fantasy points in a variety of ways. So I think it's those two for me. Outside of those guys, don't have much interest, though.
Yeah, I'm with you. I really like Hollis-Jefferson, actually. I mean, especially at these prices. He's 4K on DraftKings, 70, is that right? Oh, yeah, I just lost him here. Yeah, 7,800 on fantasy draft. And he played 25 minutes, put up 35 fantasy points last night without Booker. He probably gets a little more of a boost from this than other people. So he's probably the one guy who I'm definitely looking at the most. I'm okay with Lynn and Lopez, but I'm not like overwhelmingly excited. RHJ is probably the guy I'm using the most.
Yep, I agree with you.
Yeah. All right, anything else from this game before we move on?
No, that about does it.
All right, let's go down the list. We have got the Timberwolves at the Heat, 206 over under. The Heat are a 4.5-point favorite. And all right, this is a spot where you got a team playing really, really well, and teams playing really, really well each on each side. The defense from Minnesota has been tremendous the second half of the year. The Heat are actually playing a little bit more up-tempo than they had in the first half of the season.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, starting with the Minnesota side, do we just have to just keep playing Rubio, basically?
I think so. I mean, I've said it before, and, like, he has just been phenomenal with LaVine out. And said it prior to the injury, like, the LaVine-Wiggins combo, it just doesn't work for basketball. I mean, you just can't have two guys like that on the court at the same time. It just doesn't freaking work. And now LaVine's out, and it's opened up so much for all these other guys. I mean, Towns is playing phenomenal. Rubio's playing phenomenal. Wiggins has that, massive, 50 fantasy point upside. So this team's just so much better right now. And, fire away at Rubio. Continue. I mean, both these teams, like you said, are playing well. I expect this to be a close game. I have a lot more interest in the Timberwolves side opposed to the Miami Heat side. I mean, they just have so many guys right now in this rotation for the Heat, and a lot of guys that can get it done. So not much interest on the Heat side of things. Rubio, Towns, I think are fine options, and Wiggins in tournaments is a fine option too.
Yeah, I'm with you on those. And one thing I like about the Minnesota team is you have a nice tight rotation. You know exactly what you're going to get. People say, they might play at a slower pace, or their numbers, they may not be scoring as much. But the truth is, if you know where the production's coming from, that's just as valuable.
Absolutely.
And I think Towns, I mean, the one thing is, so this is an interesting matchup to me for the centers, because the only times I see Whiteside struggles the times he struggles most is with centers who can take him away from the basket. And then you have Towns, who I've been picking on like crazy lately. He's just been getting lit up. So I think I could see playing either of those guys, or maybe even having some lineups with both of them on fantasy draft.
I take that back. Yeah, Towns is a really bad defender. He's one of the, he's like on defense, he's really similar, honestly, to Andre Drummond. They get lost a lot and really don't know where they need to be. So take that back. I do like Whiteside.
Yeah. I think that they're both interesting. And I mean, with Rubio, obviously, what are you going to do? This guy's just been tearing it up. And Wiggins will bounce back at some point. I don't know whether it's going to be tonight, but when he gets 50 fantasy points, I definitely want to have him. So you're going to get him at low ownership tonight. You may as well take a shot at cheap. He's got a reasonable price, 12.6. Yep. I really like him. I don't think I'm interested in anybody else from the Heat other than Whiteside. I guess you could make an argument for some of the guys, but I just don't see it. Like you said, there's too many guys healthy.
Yeah.
They're in too good a spot.
Yep.
All right, ready to move on to a more fun one?
Yeah.
All right. Houston at New Orleans. It's a 229.5 over under. Wow, 230 over under now, actually. It's Houston minus 4.5. Houston beat the hell out of them by about 30-35 first game with Davis and Cousins after the All-Star break. And even in that game, Cousins went completely crazy, or was going completely crazy. Would have really gone crazy if that didn't, have to get cut short. But all right, so let's start with the Houston side, I guess, though. Who are we – what are your thoughts on Harden? Are you going to be using him a lot? Seems like a good spot to me.
Yeah, I love Harden here. The price is pretty fair, I mean, considering what he's capable of doing. Mm-hmm. Under the 12K marker on DraftKings. I just really like him. I mean, in a game that projects to be competitive, 4 or 5 point spread, they just really have nobody that will be able to contain him. So, I mean – I just love Harden here. Ariza's been playing well lately, and he's pretty cheap. I think he's somewhat interesting. Capella's the guy I have some interest in. There's obviously a little bit of foul trouble risk there, having to defend Davis or Cousins. But if he stays off foul trouble, I think he has a big game. But, I mean, overall for me, it's Harden.
Yeah, the more I looked at it today about who I want to pay up for because of the value – I sort of stopped using Harden as much because he started, when he started becoming chalk and then you see all the weapons on this team, it's like you kind of cut your exposure. But this is the type of matchup and situation I could see him actually going crazy. And it's a night where you can afford to pay up for some people.
Absolutely.
So Harden, and his price is reasonable. I'm fine with it. So
he's
probably the only guy I'm using from Houston as of right now, but I agree with you about Ariza. He's been playing better. And if he gets his shot going, he can points. The Pelicans have been playing pretty good defense lately. They've sort of figured that out a little bit, but I still think that it doesn't really matter when it comes to guys like Harden. On the Pel side, who are you into?
Yeah, I mean, it's just hard for me right now to play anyone other than DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis. I mean, there's just no other consistent fantasy producer on this roster. So it's Cousins, it's Davis. Gun to my head, I guess I'll go Cousins. I don't know. I mean, it just seemed like super similar plays. I think, you know, you look at the total here at 230. You know, in tournaments, if you're playing Harden, definitely, you know, pair him up with either Cousins or Davis. I think that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. But outside of Cousins, Davis, I can't play any of these other guys.
Yeah, I'm with you. I totally am with
Actually,
you.
Actually, I take that back. One other guy, Jordan, the Crawford dude. That's, you know, just coming in and jacking the ball.
It's like a minimum. Because of all the other value today.
And that's the problem. On FanDuel, I think he's like, he is the minimum. So,
yeah, but over here, he's like, you know, 8,800.
Yeah, they got him priced up. Yeah, on FanDuel, he's 3.5.
Yeah, that's a great spot then on FanDuel. I don't know if I can do it on DraftKings or on Fantasy Draft. I do think that I'm trying to rank them, and I had Cousins way ahead, but partly was partly pricing earlier.
Yeah.
And you see them here at basically the same price on Fantasy Draft. I still think Cousins benefits from this matchup more. He dominated a little more than Davis did the last time they played.
Yeah.
But I also think it could be Davis. And I don't even think if there was a way you could actually afford to pay for all three on this site, that those guys actually could all have big, you know, they could all have 70 fantasy.
Right. I mean, if this is a close game, I mean,
yeah,
it's Harden, it's Anthony Davis, it's DeMarcus Cousins. If this is true, let's say, and the final score is 120 or 118 to 113, which is essentially what Vegas is predicting right now. I mean, the percentage of production that's coming from those three guys is just massive.
Yep, absolutely. Great game to look at. So I think that those three guys make up most of it, but it is interesting. I want to play Holiday at some point, but I can't do it. Like I wouldn't do it against Beverly anyway.
But yeah, it's just tough right now. I mean, he's obviously, you know, taking a big step back here with the massive usage from Davis and Cousins. A big, big hit to his fantasy value.
I know. I sort of thought it would go a little bit differently. I was fortunate enough to have him the one good game he's had recently, but it's a weird spot. We got two other really, really interesting games. These last three games of the day are definitely my favorite. I'm just jumping over here real quick to see the spread. So we got, Orlando at Phoenix, 220.5 over under. This is a game that I'm just going to be all over. It's Phoenix minus two. Orlando got smoked last night by Golden State, so they should be rested and ready to go. Who are you looking at in this game on the Orlando side?
On the Orlando side, I mean, I like these guys individually, but from a fantasy standpoint, it's just hard because a lot of these guys are capable scorers. So, I mean, for me, the first guy I'll probably look at would be, I guess, Vucevic, but I like center too much to really consider him. Mm-hmm. Aaron Gordon has been wildly inconsistent. Terrence Ross has been a freaking disaster. I've gone down that path way too many times now, so I kind of learned my lesson with him. In tournaments, it's going to be Peyton. I mean, he has that massive upside, should be low owned tonight, has this price increase. So in cash, I'm probably not really going to look to any of these guys. In tournaments, I think Elfrid Payton makes the most sense.
Yeah, I think Payton is a phenomenal tournament play. I got to take a look at the updated ownership before him, but he's in a great spot. He's even been playing terrific in these blowouts that they've had. They just, you know, he's been his, at least fantasy wise, he's putting up like 1.3 per minute, and you get him back to his 35 plus minutes or in a pace up game, a perfect matchup. Like, I just think it's a spot where you could see him have one of those triple doubles, and I'm going to have a lot of exposure to him in my GPPs tonight.
Yeah. He's my favorite there.
Yeah. He's definitely got to be the best one. And, you know, you can't play Ross right now. He burned me last night. I don't know if it's for the last time, but it's for the last time for a little while. I took a shot on him in FanDuel because he was 4,100, but yikes. I think that Gordon, actually, if there was a game that plays his tempo, like this is the type of game, but you're right. He's been inconsistent. He's not putting up enough, like, for his price every day. But I do think in GPPs, he makes some sense, has 40 fantasy point upside.
I mean, he could definitely get a 20-10 game. I mean, there's sure. No doubt about that. For tournaments, yeah, I'm fine with him.
Yeah. And on the Sun side, I'm guessing that there's a little more that you like.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, they have a – I mean, now the rotation is what? Basically, like, you're just looking at this roster, they have like eight or nine guys, it looks like, in the rotation. Eric Bledsoe done, Brandon Knight, I believe he's done, right? They're not playing him anymore.
That's the word currently, but I haven't heard anything new today. Everybody keeps asking.
Yeah, Tyson Chandler, same thing. So, I mean, you're looking at Booker, Warren, Ulis, Chris, and Alan Williams, who I think are all phenomenal plays tonight. I mean, I think all five of those guys are very solid plays in all formats. Mm-hmm. Chris, coming off a monster game, finally showed some upside. Had, 32 minutes, 42 fantasy points. Ulis, I think, will be super popular tonight, and rightfully so. I mean, played 39 minutes, I believe, last game, and the same 38 last game. I think you can count on him for the same tonight. Warren is playing a ton of minutes, and he's playing well.
Very safe too.
Yeah, and Booker. I mean, Booker's fine. I mean, I don't really honestly care for his price tag. So I guess Booker would probably be the first guy I'd X off the list here for the Suns. Mm-hmm. And then Alan Williams. I mean, he has a ton of upside too. So I mean, this spot right here, it's a phenomenal spot. Totals 220, close spread. These guys are going to play regardless. I mean, you don't have to worry about a blowout on either side. Like, if the Suns get blown out or they do the blowing out, these guys are still going to play. Mm-hmm. So it's like literally like a no risk situation here in terms of playing time. So love the Suns tonight.
Yeah, I love it too. There's one guy I'm going to mention, and I'm probably going to get some shit from chat for this. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. It's Alex Len. Okay, just because the foul trouble that Williams can get into at times, and because they always have a big on the court in Orlando that you need a body to match up with, I don't think that Chris matches up with either Vucevic or Biyombo well. Yeah. So if Alan Williams gets in foul trouble, and even if he doesn't, there's still a chance Len can get there because he can rack him up in a hurry. And I think that he's a kind of an interesting like pivot play. And there's a lot of value out there, so you don't need to do it. But it's a spot where you're going to get him an incredibly low ownership. And we've seen this guy put up 40-plus fantasy points before.
Yeah, if he somehow plays 27 or 28 minutes, he could get to 40. Mm-hmm. And this matchup's great as well. So – I don't mind that call, and he'll be super low owned because all the other value that's out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's definitely an interesting one. Anybody else before we move on to the final game?
No, that's probably it. I mean, like I said, it's a really good spot here for the Sun, so you might want to load up.
Yeah, I love it. I think that's definitely the game that people want to stack. Here's another one that I've got some interest in as well. We have the Lakers and Bucks, 213 over under, which is for a Laker game extremely low. And we have, what is the spread right now? Why is this not working? It is a 7.5 point Milwaukee, is a 7.5 point favorite. Milwaukee's playing great basketball right now. This is the best they've played in a long time. The Lakers are obviously have no interest in winning. I'm a Laker fan, actually. I've been pretty good at getting the rotations down this year, but this could be an interesting one. I could see the Bucks blowing them out in LA. I don't think so, though. I think if this game stays close, there's like so many guys who I'm interested in. On the Milwaukee side, are you planning on using Giannis at all? He's been terrible lately for his price, obviously. Middleton, I think, is interesting. And Monroe, if he plays, I know it's roulette, it's you're taking a shot, but he should just completely kill this Laker front line.
Yeah, Monroe should smash. I think a fine tournament option. You just never know the minutes on him. I mean, actually, they have been pretty consistent. I mean, he's been over 26 in five straight games. So I don't mind him.
He's also been in really tough matchups too.
Yeah, just looking at the game log for all these guys, they've been bad. So the matchups have been bad. So I'm fine going back to Giannis. Price has come down a little bit. This matchup's phenomenal, like you said. Middleton, I love Middleton tonight. You're talking probably mid-30s for playing time, and he can definitely get it done, especially in this matchup. So Middleton, Giannis, Monroe in tournaments, I'm fine with. Outside of that, though, I don't think there's any reason to stretch on these secondary guys.
Definitely agree with you. I do think Middleton, I just want to say, he's one of my favorite tournament plays of the night. I'm expecting a 40 point game, real point game from him anytime, and a 50 fantasy point game any day now. He's a terrific player, and just he hasn't gotten back in that rotation. But I mean, I think there were times last year he was like mid sevens, and he's only going to get better and better.
Absolutely, yeah.
So he's like one of the best plays on the board. And on the Lakers side, I'm absolutely obsessed with the Julius Randle upside in this matchup. I don't know how to fade him in GPPs. I do know how to fade him, but it's only if they're going to get blown out. Because if this game stays close and he stays out of foul trouble, I think he could have a triple-double easily. He could have a monster triple-double too. This could be like a great Randle game.
Yeah, this is a matchup nightmare for the Bucks. If they have Jabari Parker out there, it's a whole different story. Parker, I think, is athletic enough to kind of keep up with Randle. But you look at this roster right now and the guys that the Bucks will be rolling out there, I mean, Randle just has a massive, massive advantage on all those guys. So I like the Randle call. Brandon Ingram, I mean, probably not on these sites, but on FanDuel where you have to play two small forwards.
4,300.
Yeah, he's the guy that has seen the most consistent minutes. Regardless of blowouts one way or the other, he's just playing a ton of minutes. The only game he saw under 30 minutes was due to him racking up three fouls in the first half and only played like 8 or 9 minutes. So Ingram on FanDuel, we have to play two small forwards, I think, is playable. D'Angelo Russell, I have no clue what they're doing right now with him and his playing time, so best to avoid that situation. Clarkston, I think, is a fine option, but I'm with you. Randall's my favorite.
Yeah, because I watch the Lakers so much, I have to say that D'Angelo Russell, how you feel about Drummond is a little bit how I feel about Russell. I think people think Russell is a lot better than he really is.
Yeah.
He's also one of the worst defensive players I've ever seen in my life, and he just makes idiotic mistakes over and over again.
Yeah.
So I think you're getting a little bit fed up with him. But yeah, it could go either way. I do think that Clarkson is definitely like interesting, and Zubac. I mean, you could play these guys. Like there's Zubac at 4-1 on DK, and then what is he here? What do we got him at 70? No, wait, he went up here. Oh wow, he went up to 10-6. Wow, whoa. Yeah. 10-6 is pricey, but yeah, he can completely pay it off. And we saw him with that game. You know, he had the 41-pointer against Houston. And I'm excited about this kid's future. He's really, really good. So I see there's a lot of plays in this game. My favorite would be Randle and Middleton, but I think that Giannis is a great play also, and Clarkson and Zubac.
Yeah. The last two games are golden for DFS purposes. The last three that we talked about, I think you'll see a lot of the ownership tonight, these last three games in the Celtics. So, I mean, there's just a lot of good plays tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, a couple of studs and duds here. Let's do this. I haven't hosted this show too much, so all right. Studs first. Who are you taking? Who's like?
Yeah, you haven't hosted it much, and we haven't gotten to it much. So it's a deadly combination. For the studs, I mean, for me, it's just it's so clear that it's James Harden tonight. I mean, it's the total in that game's way up there. Should be a competitive game, and he's just kind of back to doing everything. So it's definitely Harden for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like that Harden play. I'm going to say Cousins just because I think he's a pretty surefire guy too tonight. You guys usually just do one and then move on, or how does it work?
Yeah, just do one and then each pick a high price guy that we think might dud.
All right, let's go. So who's your dud?
I'm gonna go DeMar DeRozan. Like I said, I mean, the reason we like him so much is he typically does a little bit of everything when Lowry is out, and we just haven't seen that in the last three games. So I'm just I'm off DeRozan tonight. The matchup's not the greatest. KCP does play pretty good defense, I imagine. He'll be matched up with him most of the game. So for me, it's DeRozan.
Yeah, I would agree that he's definitely a tough matchup for him. I told you I liked him just from a game theory perspective earlier, but there's not a – you know, the guys at the top I feel like are all in decent position.
Yeah, it's tough.
I'm going to say, I'll say John Wall because I know he missed shoot around, even though he's still probable, but he's probably the safest guy I could take as a dud.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So, and then any injuries that we're looking out for that are going to affect you the most, what are you waiting to hear?
I don't know. Is there really anything outstanding that we're waiting for?
Not if John Wall's, going to play.
John Wall, and then the thing, about Brooke Lopez, it is a back-to-back. So, potentially keep an eye out for him, whether or not he's rested, but I haven't heard any speculation on that. So at this point, I wouldn't be too concerned with it.
Yeah. I think you're right. Well, we went a little bit quick here. Let's get a couple QQs in the chat. I've got chat. Why don't you guys fire those away, and we'll get Hoop to answer some of these ones for you. Let's see. Still don't have one yet. I also want to mention while we're waiting real quick that we do have the fantasy draft chat room. It's chat league. It's filling up. Mangone's been posting it in the chat, so you can join in through there. Let's see. Okay. QQ, faves cash at small forward tonight.
I like the Middleton call. I'm with you. I don't think he's fully priced yet. He's back to essentially his full role, but they've had bad matchups lately. So I think this is a good good opportunity to take advantage of a little price break on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Middleton play. As I mentioned, yeah, I think that he's the guy who I would take there as well. QQ, Bradley or Booker on FanDuel?
Bradley or Booker, I'll go Booker. I think he's a little bit cheaper. I'd take the price discount and just go to Booker.
Yeah, I'm really close on these two. Give a slight edge to Booker, but I really like both of them. How much Giannis is too much?
I think he might end up being a little bit lower owned than people expect. I think if people are going to spend, they're going to look to that Houston Pelicans game. So, I think none. I think like as much as you want, it's good.
Yeah. I'd say the same. I'm probably going to use him about 30% tonight, just to give that away as of right now. EQ, what centers are you both going to be overweight on versus the field?
Well, I said my guy was, I guess, the guy I hate on the most, but it's Andre Drummond. I like him a lot, and I don't think many people will be on him because the position's loaded, and just like the Pistons tonight to roll.
Yeah, I'm trying to play as many centers as possible. I like Drummond, but I really like I think Whiteside's in a great spot for GPPs, and I'm not going to stop targeting against Towns because I've just been doing it. It's been working so well.
Yep.
QQ, Shabazz with a thin bench? I say sure.
I mean, he's close to the minimum basically everywhere. Belija, or however the hell you pronounce his name, is he out for the season? Or
yeah.
Yeah, he's out. So, I mean, he's going to be locked into that six-man role, and I do like him.
Yeah, I also think that they didn't ask this one, but I do think that we didn't mention it earlier. I think Jang might be more of an interesting play, even if not tonight going forward, certainly.
Yeah, that's a good call. Price. Yeah.
Without Bielicha, he's going to get that 35 minutes back again probably, so he might be in a really good spot tonight.
That's a good call. I mean, that's something I really didn't even think of because he's the one that took the biggest hit with that dude kind of going off the last couple weeks.
Yeah, and it's weird because he's been playing well in the minutes he's played. It's just Bielicha's been just amazing.
Yep.
Question, QQ, will Rondo be high-owned? I assume he will.
Yeah, and it's no secret. He's playing a ton of minutes. Production has been there, and he's going to continue playing those minutes. So he should be a pretty popular play tonight.
Yeah. Favorite play under 3.5K?
I'm assuming that's on DK. It's going to be the birthday boy, Rozier.
Same here. I want to think about anybody else. I really like him. Drummond and Jaylen Brown or Ariza and Alan Williams?
I think the second combination is safer. The first one I would plug in tournaments.
I would agree. QQ, Miritich in play. I think we both said absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing. I mean, 28, 29 minutes the last two games. The price is, I mean, close, a notch above the minimum. So definitely.
Yep. All right. Well, that's pretty much wrapping them up. If there's any more, we'll probably do one more here. Boogie, RHJ, or Middleton, Horford?
Boogie, RHJ, Middleton. I like Middleton, Horford, honestly. I like both those guys a ton. I mean, I love Middleton and I love Horford. A lot of people are going to look to the guards to Boston, which I think is fine tonight. But I think Horford gets a big boost too. And his price is down basically everywhere. So big fan of Horford tonight.
Yeah, the same here. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up a little bit early. Anything else you want to say about the slate before we sign off?
Nope. It's a fun one. Good luck to everyone out there.
Yeah. Hey, man, good doing the show with you. Hopefully more to come in the future.
No doubt.
And for Mike Pettah, I'm Bobby Firestone saying we are out of here. Good luck tonight.
on, guys. Welcome in. Beers Daily Fantasy Six Pack, the Fantasy Bar, of course, going to be open on St. Patrick's Day. So happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody out there. Please have fun, be safe. And we're here in this bar to give you fantasy picks. Six guys I'm looking at over on FanDuel.com tonight. We're going to go back to the cash game six pack. Had a lot of requests to do that again. So people talk, the beer man listens. Cash game six pack here on a big Friday night. So let's start at the point guard position with Tyler Ulis, 5,400. Now, if you've been living under a rock, you know this time of year in NBA, things change. And the Suns told Eric Bledsoe, pack your bags, sit at home. We don't need you anymore. We're going to go with the young guy. So that's a great thing for a guy like Tyler Ulis, especially right now. You can take advantage of the price. You know, 5,400, I promise you, this guy's going to be more than 7,000 sooner rather than later. So get it in while you can at this cheap price. But going to play a ton of minutes, and we've seen the upside. This guy's played very well when given the opportunity here. You look at the matchup, doesn't get much better than a matchup with the Orlando Magic. Payton, it's a lot of steals, but defensively, giving up the fifth most fantasy points a game to the position. Tyler Ulis going to lead us off with some value at 5,400. Now let's stay with some value here for our cash games at power forward, Nikola Mirotic, 4,300. Now here's another team you can take advantage of. Fred Hoiberg came out, so we're going to shrink the rotation. That's a good thing for us. Less guys that play, our guys play more minutes. Good thing for the DFS community. Good thing for Nikola Mirotic. So I think his role here is going to be safe. A guy that can play 30 minutes, a guy that's done well here. Last couple of games, small sample size, but averaging over 30 fantasy points a game. The Bulls shut down Dwayne Wade for the season. So Jimmy Butler can't do it all for this team. I think Nikola Mirotic can give them that second scoring option.